Here's the translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge, after having personally assimilated it by experience. You can imagine this verse. You could replace Shukadeva Goswami with Srila Prabhupada, and you know, who translated this cream of Vedic knowledge. Isn't it? It reminds me of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, this is quite a long purport. Please try to hear. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this prayer, Srila Suta Goswami practically summarizes the complete introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural supplementary commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. The Vedanta Sutras, or the Brahma Sutras, were compiled by Vyasadeva with a view to presenting just the cream of Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on this cream. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a thoroughly realized master on the Vedanta Sutra, and consequently, he also personally realized the commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam. And just to show his boundless mercy upon bewildered materialistic men who want to cross completely over nescience, he recited for the first time this confidential knowledge. There is no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. No materialistic creature, be he the great Brahma or an insignificant ant, can be happy. Everyone tries to make a permanent plan for happiness, but everyone is baffled by the laws of material nature. Therefore, the materialistic world is called the darkest region of God's creation. Yet the unhappy materialists can get out of it simply by desiring to get out. Unfortunately, they are so foolish that they do not want to escape. Therefore, they are compared to the camel who relishes thorny twigs because he likes the taste of the twigs mixed with blood. He does not realize that it is his own blood and that his tongue is being cut by the thorns. Similarly, to the materialist, his own blood is as sweet as honey. And though he is always harassed by his own material creations, he does not wish to escape. Such materialists are called karmis. Out of hundreds of thousands of karmis, only a few may feel tired of material entanglement and desire to get out of the labyrinth. Such intelligent persons are called jnanis. The Vedanta Sutra is directed to such jnanis. But Srila Vyasadeva, being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, could foresee the misuse of the Vedanta Sutra by unscrupulous men, and therefore he personally supplemented the Vedanta Sutra with the Bhagavat Purana. It is clearly said that this Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Brahma Sutras. Srila Vyasadeva also instructed the Bhagavatam to his own son, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who was already at the liberated stage of transcendence. Srila Shukadeva realized it personally and then explained it. By the mercy of Srila Shukadeva, the Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra is available for all those sincere souls who want to get out of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam is the one unrivaled commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Sripad Shankaracharya intentionally did not touch it because he knew that the natural commentary would be difficult for him to surpass. He wrote his Sharira Bhasya, and his so-called followers deprecated the Bhagavatam as some new presentation. One should not be misled by such propaganda directed against the Bhagavatam by the Mayavad school. From this introductory shloka, the beginning student should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the only transcendental literature meant for those who are paramahansas and completely free from the material disease called malice. The Mayavadis are envious of the personality of Godhead, despite Sripad Shankaracharya's admission that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is above the material creation. The envious Mayavadi cannot have access to the Bhagavatam, but those who are really anxious to get out of this material existence may take shelter of this Bhagavatam, because it is uttered by the liberated Srila Shukadeva Goswami. It is the transcendental torchlight by which one can see perfectly the transcendental absolute truth realized as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Om Jnana Timananda Shah Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksasun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakaupa Trubhyas Cha Kripasindu Bhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavane Bhayo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. So this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Srimad Bhagavatam. It starts off with those three invocation verses. When I first became a devotee, I remember an older devotee said to me, you should learn these three verses. And I did. And it's helped me greatly over my devotional life in the understanding of Krishna consciousness. These first three verses. Who knows the first three verses off by heart? Janmadyasya, Dharma, Dharma Prodita, yeah? And then the next one, Nigama Kalpataru. So these first three verses, they're full of all so much meanings of the whole Bhagavatam, deeply expressed in beautiful language. And then the story starts. The sages meet, they ask the questions, there's an explanation of devotional service, there's a description of the avatars. Then there's the story of how Vyasadeva came to write the Bhagavatam. This is very important to understand. Srila Vyasadeva, he didn't write, in my maturity I wrote the Bhagavatam. He writes it in the third person, Srila Vyasadeva. He's the author. So he's writing his story in the third person, that he felt despondent, he felt unhappy, even though he'd written all the Vedas. And then Narada Muni appeared in the sky, came to see him, and said, oh, you're feeling despondent because you've not properly glorified the pastimes of Krishna. You've not directly explained Krishna consciousness in a direct way. And then in the seventh chapter, you'll find Vyasadeva then sits down in meditation by the bank of the Saraswati. And then he sees the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, surrounded by all his internal potencies, his associates. He sees the spiritual world, and he sees Maya covering that spiritual world. And then he begins, out of his great compassion, Anato Pashamam Shakshad Bhakti Yoga Madoksije Loka Shah Janito Vidvang Chakre Satvata Sanghitam, that seeing that in this age of Kali, people have no Vedic culture, no Vedic knowledge. They have no foundation, no piety. They're those extremely unqualified, covered by sinful activities, gross materialists. And none of them practically want even to get free from their activities of gross materialism. They are very happy. On Saturday we went on Harinam in West Hampstead. And the people, you know, there's a lot of people. There's three train stations in West Hampstead. And you were there, Mataji? Yeah. So there's a lot of people getting off buses. I mean, thousand people must have seen us. I saw one guy took the leaflet. He opened it. Then he threw it over the bridge. Gave him a little on chanting Hare Krishna. And when we got back in the car, Shukadev Prabhu said, they're all happy with Vishnu Maya. They're all very happy with their Vishnu Maya. So very, very few people want to get free from material suffering. Actually, human life means to have a conception of liberation. That I can get free from the cycle of birth and death by performing karma, jnana yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and ultimately bhakti yoga. But unfortunately, they are very busy enjoying the material world, and their enjoyment is full of distress. So much distress is there. Even the happiest man has to grow old, his body deteriorates, and he must face horrible death. Recently I got a letter from one lady. She says, oh, I'm very interested in Krishna consciousness. I want to dedicate myself to help the poor. Poor and needy. I said, what about the rich people? They're also suffering. They also have to face old age and death. So this is the vision of the devotee. He wants to give Krishna consciousness to everyone because he sees that everyone is a gross materialist, actually, suffering birth, disease, old age and death. This is Krishna's instruction of the items of knowledge, that one should always keep these things in the fore of one's consciousness. Because we're gross materialists ourselves, but we have a little desire for spiritual knowledge. Therefore, this Bhagavatam is for us. And therefore, we should read it. And there's 18,000 verses. 18,000 verses, and you can spend your whole life reading this book. And you'll see there's a thread, a theme running through it all. And that thread is Krishna. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's quality, Krishna's pastimes. But this is guyam. It is confidential. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Raja vidya, raja guyam. This is what he's referring to. He's referring to himself, his pastimes, his form, his qualities. It's not even known by the Vedas. The glories of Vrindavan, Krishna's Leela, is hidden in the Vedas. It is not directly explained. Kuyam. In the first canto, chapter 10, you'll find this verse, Krishna's leaving Hastinapur. And the next chapter is Krishna's arrival in Dwarka. And a very similar thing happens. Krishna's going to walk through the city to leave. So everyone come to see him. And these ladies, the queens, they're very... They cannot walk on the street amongst the common people. So they go onto the rooftops and they start to glorify Krishna. And this glorification of Krishna says more pleasing than the hymns of the Vedas. And they say this one very interesting verse, which I don't know the Sanskrit, but in the second line this word guya is mentioned twice. They say, here is that person who is described in the confidential parts of the Vedas by the confidential devotees. See? And he is the cause of the creation of the manifested universes. That's the second half of the verse. Guyam. Trying to remember something else. Raja Vijaraja Guyam. So the Vedanta Sutra, here Prabhupada quotes, he calls it the Brahma Sutra. And you see in Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, Krishna says, Brahma Sutra Padas Chaiva, Hetu Madbhya Vinishchite. He quotes Brahma Sutra when he's speaking to Arjuna. He quotes Vedanta Sutra because Vedanta Sutra is considered the cream of all Vedic knowledge. It's written at the end of all, when you're fed up with all the karma and you've been traveling all over the universe, performing yajnas, enjoying like a god, suffering like a dog. When you finish with all this material sense enjoyment, karma kanda, going up to the heavenly planets and leaving. You see, even in the happiness of the heavenly planets, there's always some anxiety. Just like our Prime Minister, Theresa May, right? She knows, she's trying to hang on. She's been on all, we're talking English, we're in England, so we can talk about it, right? So she's always in fear when her Prime Minister comes to an end. Just like the King, he's there, he's been worshipped by the whole of the nation, but in the back of his mind, he's going to come to an end. He's going to have to take sannyas, go to the forest. And if he's not very advanced, then he's always worried. Oh no, I have to give everything up. My treasury, my wives, my hundreds of children. I have to go. So this material happiness is always short-lived, even for the most elevated demigods. Right? They're always worried. When their time comes for their punya is exhausted and finished, then they shed a tear and they leave their body through the tear, the demigods. That's how they leave. They go back down to this world, which is a mixture of happiness and distress. So this happiness, the material realm, is always covered in anxiety, even in the background. But in the spiritual world, there's no anxiety. The pleasure is increasing, ever increasing, ever expanding. This is where we should go. So Krishna quotes Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra. But Vyasadev, after even writing Vedanta Sutra, what my point was that I was on, that the karmis, when they've had enough, manushanam sahasheshu, out of millions of men, who've had enough of material enjoyment, they look for knowledge. Huh? They look for knowledge. Who am I? What is this universe? What happens after death? Why do I have to die? What will happen to me in my next life? Is there liberation from all suffering? Is there a permanent existence for the self? And if they speculate, or they misuse Vedanta Sutra, which is mentioned here, Srila Vyasadeva says, there's a tendency to misuse Vedanta Sutra. The tendency to interpret it in an impersonal way. Prabhupada calls the impersonalists common spiritualists. Common spiritualists. Because they speculate in order. If you speculate, you only arrive at Brahman realization. That's why when you talk to people who's little spiritual, they all have this Brahman realization. And if they're not offensive, then that's okay. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So by this speculation, this knowledge, you get to Brahman. Then by yoga and meditation, you'll find pranayama. But in the 10th canto, you'll find this verse, that the yogis practicing pranayama, yam, niyam, after, which is very difficult to perform, after so many years of practice, they may get the final success of having controlled the mind. They're above the mind, they realize the self. But even they cannot taste one speck of dust from the lotus feet of Krishna. One speck of love. What's a verse like that? What is that verse? Kami bhya parito hare priyataya jnana jnaninas tebyo jnane vimukti bhakti parama. That out of many millions of karmis, there may be some jnani who is liberated by virtue of his practice. But better than them is the bhaktas. Now, we shouldn't misunderstand that the karmis are not the karma yogis or the neophyte devotees of the Vedic culture. They also get Krishna's mercy. Even the lowest karmis who follow Vedic culture, Krishna is very kind and merciful to them. Just Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Gaya to perform his, Shraddha for his father. So it said that when he approached the Brahmins, all these Brahmins surrounded him, and they were all very greedy. They could see he had some money, and they couldn't wait to do the puja and take his money. And it said Lord Chaitanya sat and he smiled, mildly smiled. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that he was pleased with them because they were following Vedic culture. He was pleased, some happiness was there. Even though they were greedy Brahmins, still they were practicing Vedic culture. So some, and in one purport in the ninth canto, Prabhupada says it's not that the Lord is not merciful to the lowest devotees. So the residents of Ayodhya, Lord Ram was there, he's looking very nicely, but for his more advanced devotees, he sent them out. Bharat, Shatrughna, his brothers, he sent them. You have to leave Ayodhya. I want you to go and, I think it was a, where they bring the horse, or where they have to conquer other kingdoms and all that, whatever. So the higher devotees, they're meant to go out and preach, go out and do the service of the Lord. You see? So this Krishna Conscious Movement, it's an extremely advanced platform. Prabhupada didn't come and say, come in here, go to Arati, then go home and make a lot of money, big career, make loads of money, and live happily. No, he said, you come here, give everything up, go out and book distribution. The other Saturday I was thinking, should I go out in Harinam today? I don't feel so well. So I went down to my workshop in the garden, and my wife was in there listening to a Prabhupada lecture. And Prabhupada said, if you stay in the temple just chanting Hare Krishna, you'll just think of money and women. Go out on Sankirtan. So I went. See? I thought this is amazing. So I went out on Harinam that day. Very good. And I felt purified of my material desires at the end of Harinam, as you always do. You always get the result. So we don't want sometimes to make spiritual advancement. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We want to stay in this nice country, residence, beautiful deities, prasadam, so nice. But no, we want to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We have to leave the comfort of the temple and go out all over England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, come to France. I'm going to France next month for the marathon. And the people in France, they don't give like English people. So many people come to England who live in Vrindavan or St. Mayapur, they come and they collect some money here because English people, they'll give. But they can't do it in France. The French people, they don't give so easily. That's another story. Anyway, back to the Bhagavatam. So the point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada calls it Lord Chaitanya's Vedic movement in one stage. So as I was saying in the beginning, the Vedas are gone, the pious karma is gone, Gyanis are practically here and there, not much. Tebyo Gyani, Vimukti Bhakti, no. what's that verse? The Gyanis are more, Motesham Gyani, Nitya Yukta. Upasate, yes. The Gyanis are the best out of the four pious people who turn to Krishna. Those who are in distress, those who are in want of knowledge, those who are inquisitive, and those who are after wealth. The Gyanis are the best. So the Vedanta Sutra was meant for those Gyanis. But Vyasadev saw that this Vedanta Sutra is going to be misused. And Shankaracharya has given his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Now, The history is that Buddhism had become patronized by Maharaj Chandragupta and it spread all over India. Lord Buddha was a special incarnation. He preached atheism. He preached rejection of the Vedas. So Lord Shiva had to come in this form of Shankar, Acharya, and he preached the same Buddhist philosophy based on the Vedas. And then he drove Buddhism out of India. And it went to Tibet, Burma, Thailand, to the edge. Get out of India. Back to the Vedas. And this set the way for the Vaishnava Acharyas to then come, Nimbarka and so forth, for the grand appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who emphasized the Bhagavatam above all other literature. Nigama tapo karitam balam sukamukadamrita drava sangyatam pibata bhagavatam rasam alam raho rasika. It's the supreme literature. Don't take this for granted. Don't think the Bhagavatam is just another Vedic literature. This word in the translation, saram, means cream. So later on in the third chapter, it says saram saram. It's the creme de la creme. We have this saying in English, the creme de la creme. It's the cream of the cream. And why is that? Nivrittitashe upagiyamanat bhavaso dach chotra manobiramat ka utama shloke gunanuvadat puman virajeta vishaheta. Puman vidajeta bina pashugnat nivritta tashe rupagiyamanat. So the mano biramat, mano means the mind, and biramat means very pleasing. It's very, very pleasing. Chota and osadi, it's the medicine. So we talk so much about these things, but we have to also do it. And doing it means we have to read this, and especially we have to read Krishna book. Prabhupada's greatest contribution, one of his greatest contributions, is that we, even when we walk in the door as a new bhakta, we can read the 10th canto in the form of Krishna book. Krishna's pastimes are very sweet. Maduram, maduram, etan, mangalam, mangalanam. And the holy name is the sweetest of all sweet things. The holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're both called the fruit of the Vedic desire tree in two different verses. It's a very curious thing. They're both described in this way. The Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedic desire tree. And in this famous verse, Nigamavali Satpalam Chitswarupam, the holy name is also called the ripened fruit of the Vedic desire tree. So this Hare Krishna mantra and the Srimad Bhagavatam are the two most important things out of the five most important things. Nam Kirtan, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat Shravan, Shimuta Sevaya, Dham Sevaya, Dham Vasanam. So, in your life, you practice Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna and reading Bhagavatam should be generally your foremost occupations, sadhanas. Prabhupada says, even unwillingly, willingly or unwillingly, you hear Krishna Katha, you will be liberated. Even by accident, if you begin to hear Krishna Katha, you will be liberated. But the problem is, our material desires are so strong that sometimes we don't want to read. And not only we distribute millions and millions of books, people are so sinfully absorbed, you cannot read the book. When your mind is polluted with sin, you cannot even read one line. You see? See? Just by reading it, you get liberated. But we cannot read it when we are living sinfully. That's why we distribute all these millions of books. Only one or two people come. Because they're all sinful. Papi. But there's a verse in the 11th canto. That Krishna is so kind that if someone just chants his holy name, unwillingly or willingly, he feels to remove the sin of millions of lifetimes from their heart. So this is Krishna's kindness. He is ready to take the most sinful people and make them liberated. Therefore, along with the book distribution, the Sankirtan, Harinam must go on side by side, because when they hear Krishna, they become purified of sin and they're able to start to read this Krishna Katha. I was going to read something. So Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam so that there would be absolutely no no doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His pastimes in Vrindavan are supreme. Arajho Bhagavan Brajesas Tadham Tanayas Tadham Vrindavanam. Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. And his abode, Vrindavan, is a supreme abode. Prabhupada says, we all have a tendency to love our own home, where we come from. When I was growing up, I come from this little island, Jersey. I used to think it was the best place in the world. I can get on a plane to London in half an hour. I can go to France on a boat in half an hour. So it's a beautiful place, nice beaches, you know. Now I hate the place. But when I was growing up, I'm thinking. So Prabhupada said, this tendency to love your home, love Vrindavan. Same tendency. Make Vrindavan your home. Make Mayapur your home in your heart. And love that. So we have everything here. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's abode. And Srimad Bhagavam Puranam Amalam. It's the supreme book for knowing the absolute truth, Srimad Bhagavatam is. And Nimnam Gana Yata Ganga Devanam Achuto Yata Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Puranam Idam Tata. Just as the Ganges is the greatest of rivers, Lord Achuta is the greatest worshipful deity, and Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. So the greatest book is Srimad Bhagavatam, this Purana. This verse is from the 12th canto. You'll find glorification of the Bhagavatam at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, and at the end there's a whole chapter. It says, if you give this Bhagavatam, the whole set, on a full moon day, on a golden throne, you guarantee just to go back to Godhead, just by giving the Bhagavatam as a gift. So when you go out on one day's book distribution, you come to one morning program here, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You cannot estimate how much fortune is there. Cannot estimate it. Vedeshu Ramayana Chaive Puranai Bharate Tata Adavanta Cha Majji Cha Hari Savatra Giyate. Lord Chaitanya speaks this verse to the Mayavadi philosophers, sannyasis, when he meets them in Varanasi. He says, in all the Vedas, the Puranas, the Mahabharat, even the Ramayana, there is nothing but Hari Savatra Giyate, the same word, Giyate, the singing of the glories of Hari. But you have to be a pure devotee to be able to see that in all the Vedas. Only from the pure devotee can you hear the glories of Krishna. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is direct. It's direct. It's the most important book in the world. And we are reading it daily, distributing it, studying it. And therefore we are the most fortunate people. Bhagavan realization. Okay, I've spoken so much now. We'll stop.